Good morning. Happy Father's Day. I hope you noticed on the table in the foyer we have a gift for our fathers this morning. So if you didn't, if you weren't able to pick one of these up, there are still a number of them laying out there. So pick one up on your way out. I want to advise you, do not use one of these to hang a hammock. So because recently, after I repaired our hammock with appropriate equipment, I'd finished mowing the lawn, and I'm hot, and so I get on that hammock, and I'm laying there, and I come to realize, you know, this is about the coolest place a person can be if you're hot. You know, I mean, as opposed to standing or sitting because you have the cool breeze and on your backside, it's not up against a chair or anything, and I'm just relaxing, enjoying this hammock. And I'm looking up, and I have trees above me, and I'm appreciating these trees. You know, if you've laid on your back in the grass and you looked up on a sunny day and you see the branches and the leaves on top and the sky behind, you know, God's creation is beautiful from every direction, and it's a unique perspective to look up underneath a shade tree. And it's just beautiful. And I was admiring that and thinking about God, and a bird comes flying in, and a bird lands on a branch. And I'm looking at this bird. I mean, it's right above me. I can see it. It kind of reminds me of how God made birds. How can a bird fly? You know, do you know they're, and I'm thinking about all this, their bones are hollow. They're very lightweight, and their wings are made in such a unique way that they can fly and everything. I'm looking at this bird, and then I notice an object. A white object comes from this bird, and it's getting larger. You know, and my brain is starting to process this, and then my brain gets to the point of thinking, you know, this is not good. Because, you know, gravity, it's fast. Okay? And then I realize my mouth is open. No, I'm just kidding. Everything's true. Except the object, up until the object. So don't say your preacher lies to you. Only partial lies. But, you know, fathers, it's Father's Day. You ever notice fathers just can't catch a break sometimes? I mean, fathers are honored. Fathers are admired. But in our current society and current day, I don't think they are as much as they should be. And so Scripture tells us to honor your father and mother. And we want to do that today. I want to share with you three ways that our fathers are made in God's image. Three characteristics of fathers that are almost entirely true, generally true. And fathers are this way because they were made in the image of God. Fathers naturally protect. It amazes me how much our society wants to make men and women the same. Have you noticed that? In the past, I don't know how many years, our society wants there to be no difference between men and women, but there are numerous differences. And just physiological differences. Men are taller. Some differences that I didn't realize, you may not have either. Women have a shorter head and a broader face and a less protruding chin. I didn't know that. They have shorter legs and a longer trunk. The first finger on a woman's hand is usually longer than the third. With the men, the reverse is true. It's your index finger and your ring finger. Men have 30% larger lungs, 20% more red blood cells than women. Men are 50% stronger than women in brute strength. And Proverbs 20:29 says, "The glory of young men is their strength." God made men stronger for a reason. To protect. Now also to provide. But God made men stronger to protect. And since the beginning of time, Satan has been tempting men to use that strength to abuse or take advantage of. Think of Cain and Abel. But God made men strong because we are natural protectors. We were made that way for a reason. When you were young, do you remember if there was a loud noise in the middle of the night? You remember who got up to check on the noise? You know, mom or dad? I hope it was your dad. I hope it was your dad that got up to check on the loud noise, the loud bump in the middle of the night. I remember the safety that I felt as a child when dad was home, because I knew dad would protect us. And so we find that men are protectors because they were made in the image of the original and almighty protector. Think of the nation of Israel, Joshua, in Joshua chapter 24. If you want to turn to Joshua 24, verse 17. Joshua 24, 17. This is that famous passage where Joshua, he speaks to the nation and he says, "Choose yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Well, this is really not a challenge to the people in the sense of would they or wouldn't they. This is a rally cry. This is a battle cry. This is a come on, we're gonna do this. This is we're gonna lead, and we're gonna lead in this way. And verse 17, he goes on to say, "It was the Lord our God Himself who brought us and our fathers up out of Egypt from the land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled." You think about how God protected the Israelites from the very beginning when they left Israel. They come up to the Red Sea. Who's behind them? The Egyptians are coming, trained soldiers, well equipped, on chariots. And you have these Hebrew slaves out here at the bank of the Red Sea. And God protected them. Opened the waters, they cross. The enemy comes in behind, the waters collapse. Even in the desert, 40 years in the desert. You're not talking about a nation with a trained army. You're talking about a nation of slaves. And God protected them. And Joshua reminds them of that. Psalm 37, a great psalm, says, "For the Lord loves the just and will not forsake His faithful ones. They will be protected forever, but the offspring of the wicked will be cut off." Even Jesus, when Jesus was alive, he prays a prayer toward the end of his ministry. Jesus prays a prayer. It's interesting. In this prayer, he says, "I protected them." He means his apostles. "And kept them safe." We may not think of Jesus. When you think of Jesus, do you think of a protector? I don't. I think of a teacher. I think of a healer. I think of a savior. I don't think of a protector. But Jesus was a protector because God the Father is a protector, and He made man in His image, and that's why as men we are natural protectors. Men are also natural fixers. Don't laugh. All right, I thought we might get a little heckling there. Ladies, don't laugh. Men are natural fixers. I think of, you remember the Cosby Show? Remember Cliff Huxtable? Him trying to fix everything, and he would try to... Sorry, the older ones here, do you remember the Cosby Show? I'm sorry, it was a show in the 80s. Family, you know, a wealthy family. Their mom and dad were doctors, and he could not fix anything. But he always tried. And he would make it worse. He'd make a mess out of it. And that was a lot of the humor on the show. Men are fixers. Even if we don't have the knowledge, we have the instinct and desire to fix. I remember growing up, my dad would fix things. My dad grew up on a farm. And on a farm, when something breaks, you fix it. And if you don't have what it takes to fix it, you don't order it. You don't go to the store and get it. You make it. And if you don't have the tool to make it, you make the tool. And then you make the product. And then you fix whatever's wrong. Oftentimes with baling wire. You always need baling wire. That's how it works on a farm. And my dad grew up that way, but he grew up being raised by two people who grew up in the Depression. So when I'm growing up watching dad, we could go to the store and buy this, you know, thing, but I don't know, we'll use whatever we can find. And so dad would rig things. I call it rigging. You know, there's an art to that. And I inherited that. I still rig things. I don't want to go to the store. What do we have around here that I can use to, you know, that'll make this work? I used a pencil the other day to rig something, and it lasted a couple days. But men are fixers. You know, who fixed your bike when you were little? Who fixed your toys when they broke? Fathers are naturally good with their hands. They're naturally good problem solvers. And I ran across this blog the other day. I just want to share it with you. It's about men and fixing things. The author said, "There's one thing I think all women should know about men. Let us fix things every now and then. Or at least let us try to fix things." The other day, a female friend of mine had a flat tire right before we were supposed to meet up. She texted me that she had called AAA. I offered to help, but she waved me off. The truth is, men want to feel like men sometimes. I think it's in our DNA to fix, build, and hunt. Yet in this day and age, we rarely have the opportunity to fix things, especially in my generation. I come from an entire generation of men who don't know how to build a cabinet or fix a car or tighten the fix-it or gasket. These are things our fathers did for us, and now we've outsourced those tasks to specialists. I was at a party about 5 years ago, and the sink backed up and started burping up this vile-looking sludge. I know nothing about sinks, but I asked the host if I could try to fix it, and he gave me his approval. So I found a way to turn off the water under the sink, and I opened up the pipe and find it clogged with all sorts of food. I closed it back up, turned on the water, and the sink worked better than it had in years. That was 5 years ago. I don't remember anything else about that party, but I remember fixing that sink. Fixing things means something to us. So every once in a while, give us a chance to fix something for you. It'll make us feel like the men we want to be. And sure, maybe I don't know much about fixing flat tires, but it would sure feel good to get my hands dirty and give it a try. I think that resonates with men. That's how God made us. We're just designed that way. And we come from a father who is a fixer. I'll talk about that in a minute. I want to add one asterisk to husbands, in particular young husbands, or someday to be husbands. When your wife tells you about something that's bothering her, usually she does not want you to fix it. See, God in His great wisdom made men to naturally want to fix, and He made women to naturally want someone to empathize with them. So if your wife tells you about a problem, empathize with her. Don't try to fix it. No amens from the women? None? All right. Our Father in heaven is a fixer. Fathers are natural fixers because we were made in the image of God who wants to fix our brokenness. One of my favorite scriptures in all of the Bibles in Numbers chapter 11, Moses is leading the Israelites in the desert, and God has given them manna to eat for breakfast and for lunch and for dinner, day after day after day, manna. And the people get tired and they grumble and they grumble and they want meat. They're tired of eating the manna all the time, and Moses is deeply troubled. He goes to God, and God says, "I'll fix it. I'll take care of it." And Moses freaks out and says, "God, all the fish in the sea wouldn't be enough." And this great scripture, Numbers 11:23, the Lord answered Moses, "Is the Lord's arm too short? Is the arm of the Lord too short? You will see whether or not what I say will come true for you." And of course, God did provide quail for a nation that scholars estimate 2 million people in the desert. God is a God who fixes things. Luke chapter 1, verse 34, we find an angel speaking to Mary, the mother of Jesus, telling Mary, "You're going to have Jesus." Mary says, "How can that be? I'm a virgin." And verse 35, the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her 6th month. The angel said, "Mary, you have to remember who's in charge here. It doesn't matter that you've not been with Joseph. You're going to have a baby. Trust me. It doesn't matter that Elizabeth is old and past childbearing age and said to be barren. She's already pregnant." For verse 37, nothing is impossible with God. That's the God we serve. when we have problems, we serve a God whom nothing is impossible for. And then Matthew 7, chapter 7, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock, the door will be open. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, to him who knocks the door will be open. That's the God we serve. He says, come ask me, I will help you. Come ask me, I will solve this. Come find me, I will fix it. And that's what we do with our brokenness. We all come to God as broken people, don't we? Is there anyone here that's not broken? Or hasn't been broken? Or hasn't failed? Or hasn't felt like a failure? Unfortunately, I think some of you here think you're the only one. And you're in a group of about 221 people just like you. And we serve a God who fixes our brokenness. Number three, men are naturally, fathers are natural guides. Mothers comfort, fathers advise. Mothers comfort, fathers advise. Fathers are natural leaders. They're natural teachers. They showing their children the best way. I can remember my dad showing me how to play baseball, how to change a flat tire, how to change the oil. I remember dad giving advice. Can you hear your dad's advice? Can you hear the things that he would say? Be careful. Save your money. Read your Bible. Remember to pray. Plan ahead. You remember advice coming from your father? God made men to be guides. Fathers are natural guides because they were made in the image of a God who is the original guide. The nation of Israel, it's interesting, they're in the desert. You have these slaves that God brought out of the desert, the nation of Israel, and God would lead them. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night, in a pillar of fire to give them light so they could travel by day or night. Not a problem. God would guide them. It didn't matter that they didn't have a source of light. God would provide it. God would show them the way. And Psalm 73 says, yet I'm always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterward you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And on earth, and earth has nothing I desire beside you. What a statement. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire beside you. Do you ever feel alone? Do you ever feel lost? Do you ever feel like, I don't know what to do? I don't know what we're going to do? And I remind you, you have a God, a Father in heaven, who wants to take you by the hand and guide you. And when we turn to Him in prayer, when we give our lives to Him, that's what God does for us. He guides us. John 16:13. Even when Jesus left, we're told that when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears. He will tell you what is yet to come. God sent His Son to be a Savior, and then He sent His Spirit to guide us. And we receive guidance from our God, the Father. This morning, we wanted to honor our fathers. Scripture tells us, honor your father and mother. And so it's a unique day in our society and in our nation, Father's Day, and we do that today. And I encourage you to do that. But as we do that, I want to remind you that our Creator, He's the one we honor the most. We bow down and worship our God. We do that today. You may be here this morning, and there may be something heavy on your heart, something that we need to help you with. Maybe something we need to pray with you about. help get your life right with God. It may be that you need your sins washed away to become a Christian this morning. If there's something you need, please come while we stand and sing.
Have you a heart that fits?